Thank God for the alligator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon. This is John Williams. Welcome to another edition of the Mincing Rascals. The Rascals start with that this week, and then we dive into the deep end of other local and national controversies. Were the women on the U.S. national soccer team unpatriotic? We talk about the census. Should the governor have banned Confederate Railroad from the DuQuoin State Fair because of their Confederate imagery? Before we get started, please give us a good rating if you think this is a swell podcast, and please give us some feedback, too. You can email me, John Williams, at WGNradio.com. A lot of ground to cover. Here we go. Today is Thursday. It's July 11th, 2019. It's 11:16 in the morning. We got to get humping, which is an expression. I'm John Williams, and this is The Mincing Rascals, a podcast we record at the studios at WGN Radio in Chicago. Listen for me weekdays from 1 to 3.
I'm Kim Gordon. I'm the afternoon anchor. We're on the Rokan Show.
I'm Steve Bertrand, host of The Business Lunch on WGN.
Eric Zorn couldn't be with us today. Scott Stantis is supposed to join us for this, his final studio appearance with The Mincing Rascals.
Have we made that announcement? You just kind of just made an announcement.
Well, it's true, and it has been in the public.
Okay.
And Scott's moving back to Alabama, is it?
Yeah, he is.
I can't even say it straight. Alabama, not Alabama. He's moving to Alabama. That's kind of where he's from. He loves Chicago, but he also loves it there. He'll still do cartoons for the Chicago Tribune a couple of times a week. He will not be in there as often. He's not retiring, but he's changing his work arrangement. And so he won't be in the studio anymore.
And so he's blowing us off on his last one.
I know, but today was supposed to be his swan song.
I brought a cake.
We don't have a name for the renegade alligator in Humboldt Park yet, and we've named the guy trying to hunt him down Bob, maybe because that's his name.
I was going to say, I think his parents named him that, not us.
Personally, I'm rooting for the alligator, and I don't want him to get caught. But like all likable bad guys, we know it's best if he gets caught and put in the right place.
Well, why is he a bad guy?
Well, because you can't have an alligator roaming around Humboldt Park. It's going to eat a duck or a kid.
But he didn't put himself there.
Because he'll freeze if we don't catch him.
Well, right.
It's illegal to own an alligator in Illinois.
You know what, though?
I suppose you could have some.
Who cares? It's a great, it's just a great summer story.
It's perfect.
You know, it's one of the things everyone's brought together. They're watching
it. But are you guys with me? You really don't want the alligator to get caught.
No, I want Bob to be out there for a few more weeks.
But, I mean, really, I don't ever want Bob to catch the alligator.
But Bob will die if Bob is not, or if the
alligator.
Chance the snapper.
Oh, my gosh, is that.
You haven't heard these? Chance the snapper?
No, what else have
you come? Croc Obama. And the other one is, I know, it was a Cloud Gator, but he wants to be called Bean.
Just call him Bean, yeah. Let's see, we've got good names.
Scott Stannis just strolled in. Hi, Scott Stannis.
Yeah, Barack Obama was a tweet from Governor Pritzker. That was
really?
His idea, yes.
Yeah, we'll get to him. He needs some good press this week.
So, Scott, we just kind of wrote your Chicago obituary, so.
Oh, thank you.
We'll miss you.
Oh, thank you.
This is your last in-studio performance
for now,
and
yeah.
appearance, but we'll continue to hear from you.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, the movers showed up early.
Oh, wow. You're going back to the land of sweet tea.
Yes. And obesity and...
Well, you don't have to go.
Careful, man. They haven't let you in yet.
I know. I can't imagine, though. I mean, if you could live where you live, in a beautiful condo in beautiful downtown Chicago, right there, like near the the Corncob Towers and Trump Tower. It's just this gorgeous
Marina
location.
City.
Marina City. But you also have a nice house with a swimming pool and fir trees in Alabama.
And my kid.
And so I just understand the pull of those two places.
And I'll still be a part of this place. I'll still be drawing for the Chicago Tribune at least twice a week.
You've gotten more pub in the last week than you have in the 10 years you've been here.
I know.
The Hamilton exhibit, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I should have left more often.
You're the principal cartoonist for the Hamilton exhibit.
Yeah, that was great. They did a great job promoting that. So, and I mean, how many times? I mean, you're a history nut. I mean, I got to caricature Patrick Henry and Sam Adams and Hamilton and James Madison. It was great.
Yeah, your drawings are really good. And apropos of the messaging there, it's very well done.
Thank you.
Terrific.
Oh, thanks.
I haven't been to the exhibit yet, though.
What? You got to go.
It's $25 or something like
that. Well, it's more than
that. Okay, so back to the gator.
So, Mr. Creativity.
Oh, the gator, yes. I'm drawing on that for Sunday.
I like Croc Obama. I like... See, here, he's just hearing them for the first time, too.
I didn't know what you were talking
about. Chance the Snapper.
Chance the Snapper is maybe the best.
That's the best one.
You've got to put a number 3 hat on him.
Oh, of course.
Assume that it could live through the winter. And the way the climate is changing, soon he'll be able to. I like the idea of that guy just on the run.
It's like Chicago's Loch Ness Monster.
Kind of. Well played. Yeah. In fact, there you go. We should call it some, you know, derivation of Nessie or something like that. But there's a guy out there that's trying to catch him. I guess somebody had it as a pet. It got too big. They released it into Humboldt Park's pond, and so there it lives today. So if you're listening to us, Chance the Snapper, Godspeed, sir. We wish you safe harbors.
And we promise we won't use you in the alligator sausage, A Taste of Chicago, so it's okay to come out.
The CTA is expected to roll out soon buttons for pregnant women. This was a hot topic on the radio this week. The buttons would indicate that the wearer is pregnant and encourage others to give that person a seat. This is a rocky road that ends in a good place, but oh, the issues that are associated with it. Do you like this idea?
Well, I do like the idea, but then the other part of me has got this thinking, just mind your manners, people. If you see somebody who's pregnant, get up.
Yeah, but as a man, sometimes you want to, you're not sure. And you say, when have you ever, have you guys ever done this? When are you due?
Yes, it has happened to me on occasion. I get that. But I think it's nice. I mean, it's tough for pregnant ladies, especially in this heat, walking around the city.
Some people early in their pregnancy don't show much either, but they're not feeling well. They could use a break, so the button would indicate that.
As a gentleman, I will, if a lady comes in, I'll stand up and give her
any
a seat.
Lady?
Yeah.
I was thinking about this on the L today, and everybody had their nose in their lap looking down at a device. If a woman or an old person or a pregnant lady was on there, we would all say, we always will defer to them. You don't if you don't notice.
If there's a woman 15 years younger than you gets on the L, you're going to get up and give her your seat?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
That's why he's moving back to Alabama.
Right, I guess so. What do you think of that, Kim? I think it's a very nice thing to do.
And I may say, oh, that's really nice of you. Thank you. I'm fine to stand. Stay where you are.
You think a man should automatically give a seat up to a woman?
No, but if somebody offers, I think it's a very nice gesture.
Wait, watch this. Hey, Steve, do you think a man should automatically
give
up his seat to a woman?
He does this stuff just because he knows it's
a
trap.
Go ahead.
No, I don't.
It's not a trap.
I don't think a man should automatically give up for a woman.
Okay. And I know we're going to talk about women's soccer and, you know,
Hey,
Steve, women should be paid the same as men?
For the same job, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I guess there's a certain symmetry to all that.
But you sort of laid this trap for me on the air, too. I will certainly get up for people who are older than me, men or women.
Do you think the truth is a perjury trap,
Steve? Do you think you could let me finish a thought?
Go ahead.
I don't think that I would not automatically get up for a woman if she's 10 years younger than me or something. I don't think we're there anymore. And I don't think I should be made to feel badly for that. Now, if it's someone who's older, someone who's got bags in her hands or a kid in her hands, obviously, yes. But we're either moving forward with gender equality or we're not.
Okay. All right, let's be specific. A 50-year-old guy is sitting in a seat. A 30-year-old woman. I mean, I think if the ages are considerable or the circumstances are very stark, then it's more obvious. But a 50-year-old guy is sitting there and a 30-year-old woman gets on, meaning that she's able and fit and she doesn't have any immediate need other than protocol for Steve's sake.
And she's not pregnant.
Okay. She's just a nice lady and she's 28 now. I've just made her 28.
Okay.
And the guy sitting there is 52. Should he get up? And in fact,
he gets up, he'd be made to feel like he's hitting on her. He'd be in trouble for flirting with a younger woman.
No, I usually ask too. I said, "Do you want the seat?"
We're recording this, right?
Nine times out of ten, they're saying no. That's okay.
And so we were talking about opening doors on the air too. Another trap you set for me, and I will open the door for people of either gender.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't think it's
I think manners are still. It's okay to still have manners.
Let's do it a different way. Then a woman called on John's show, and she was 35. She was 42. And she went to a concert at the Green Mill. And she said, all these older people were there and no one would get up for me. Finally, a guy got up and gave me a seat. And I said, how old was he? And she said, what, about 56?
He was white-haired.
Yeah. So an old man got up and gave this younger woman her seat.
Okay. First of all, 56 isn't old.
Whatever. I'm 56.
Right. You're not old.
I don't think she should think she's entitled to an old guy's seat just because she's a woman.
Right.
You did it again, man. You just sucked me in.
If you sometimes offer the seat to a woman, you're saying that you are needier than I am. Why? Because you're a woman. Well, isn't that an old conceit? You shouldn't think that.
I mean, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here. I think it's what you feel comfortable with as a man, but as a woman, and maybe I'm showing my age because I'm 54 and I appreciate it when someone offers me a seat or opens the door for me, and maybe somebody who's 28 doesn't feel it the same way I do.
Oh, no, I can tell you, working in buildings, obviously with elevators, and I hold the door, and I'm in the front of the elevator, and it opens, and I hold it for the women to leave.
Isn't it funny, too?
And they sort of just stare at you, especially the much younger ones, kind of like, what's he doing?
But it is funny.
Kind of trap.
You never get out of an elevator until the last woman is out.
Yeah.
Right.
That's an old-fashioned thing, but that still holds.
I'm guessing in case there's something dangerous.
John, I do that, okay?
Okay. Is that okay? Chivalry's still alive.
So buttons, yes or no? Kim, you're in charge of buttons for the CTA. Should we make them readily available to women, and if they're pregnant, they can wear them?
Sure.
Scott?
Doesn't the baby bump kind of give the...
If it's early days.
Yes or no, okay. Scott?
Sure.
Policy, sure, no harm.
What if I personally, my pronoun is pregnant woman, so I would wear one of those stickers.
The U.S. women's soccer team paraded through ticker tape in New York this week. The chant was USA and... It's a remarkable call for pay equity for women players. They get paid about $75,000. The U.S. men get paid about $100,000. They make more with other bonuses and contracts on the side. The Chicago connections to this are many. Two professional players from Chicago are part of a lawsuit against the U.S. Soccer Federation. It's headquartered in a lovely neighborhood on South Prairie Avenue in Chicago. And the CEO, Diane Flynn, makes a base salary of $836,000.
Wow, that's like radio money.
All the top officers are paid in excess of $210,000. And Mr. Flynn, according to Elite Street in the Trib today, recently paid $2.6 million for a swell home with 6,300 square feet of living space in Lakeview.
And what is their job?
Those people?
Yeah. They don't run just the team. They run something bigger than the team.
Well, the U.S. Soccer Federation.
Okay.
So they,
I don't really know what that is. That's more than just the World Cup teams, right?
Sure. Yeah, okay. I presume
so. When you say
so.
Soccer Federation, it's just the Women's Soccer Federation?
You're asking me a lot of questions. No, okay. That would be U.S. That would be U.S.
So okay, so the entire men and women. Okay, men and women.
This is actually a hogwash issue, and I hate to say that, but it's true in this instance, because the women's World Cup soccer tournament takes in about $75 million. And the women take 12% of that goes to income for the players. The men's World Cup takes in almost over $1 billion, and the men's take is and the players take is 9%. So I'm just telling you that, you know, should they be paid the same for, you know,
open the door for that lady, John Williams.
If someone's a talent in Chicago, should they be paid more than a talent from South Bend?
Yes.
Yes. So that's what we're looking at here.
The women outdraw the men in the United States. Internationally, men's events outdraw the women. The women have a contract, which this Jesse Waters guy on Fox News said is not a good contract. They should tear up that contract. He also said this.
If you go out and you disparage the president, you act in unpatriotic ways, and then complain about not getting paid equally, well, what do you think is going to happen?
What's your reaction to that, Mr. Soccer?
I don't think it's unpatriotic. I think it's just geared to the president. I don't think it has anything to do with the country.
Right. I think you can disparage the president without being quote-unquote unpatriotic. Let's just do that part first.
I mean,
it's not
a Colin Kaepernick situation.
I don't even think Colin Kaepernick is acting unpatriotic.
I don't either, but that's
Betsy Ross flag thing was stupid.
Oh, we're going there.
Do you think the women's team has been acting unpatriotically? Not that that should compromise their pay equity issue, but let's just address that for a minute. Have they been shooting themselves in the foot because of this?
I think bringing politics into it, and when the team captain said there's no effing way she's going to go to the White House.
That was Rapinoe, right?
Yeah, there's NFL players who have said that. There's Major League Baseball players who have said that. I mean, there
the
are
NBA
lots.
The NBA championship team doesn't even go there anymore.
Right.
They're like, screw it. We don't want to go.
The Patriots haven't even gone, and Robert Kraft is very good friends with the president. He was sitting right next to him the other night.
No, but it was, I think,
as is Tom Brady.
I think it was bad form for her to say that. I she might have said it in a better way. She might have said, you know what, in this climate, or I disagree with him, I would not do that. But for her to say, you know, drop the F-bomb and saying there's no way I'd go to the White House.
I'm not going to the White House. No, I'm not going to the White House. That's okay.
I think that was bad form, and I think she did hurt her case there.
What case?
To be the country's darling, and you know, I think she did damage
her pay equity issue?
No, that has nothing to do with it, I don't think. No. But
she's doing her job, and she's doing it well.
Really? Do you think using that language was a good use of the English language?
You know, there's always a better way to say something without dropping the F-bomb.
When you say she's doing her job and doing it well, you mean on the pitch?
On the field,
On the pitch. Look at you go.
On the pitch.
Wow, look at you.
I've been following women's soccer for almost 2 months now.
Longer than I have.
They were really fun to watch. They really were darlings of the USA and the world. Their walk was as good as their talk. You could see this thing coming a mile away, this sort of rift between some of these strident, egotistical players. Those aren't bad things. And the president of the United States.
My introduction to Megan Rapinoe was that quote. That's how I met her.
Yeah, kind of.
And
me
that's
too.
A bad way for me to meet
right.
her.
So right, so that's bad for the brand.
You the wrong way.
It's bad for the brand. But I sure hate to label somebody as unpatriotic.
Oh, yeah, no. Well,
none, by the way, that doesn't mean you no, are.
None of us has said that she's unpatriotic.
And you know what? And what she said yesterday, she kind of softened her stance
no,
a little.
I wish she'd referred to herself, you know.
What?
She said we all need to do better. We all need to love. We all need to.
Well, I think it's a...
Implied?
Implied, yeah.
And if the White House were smart, and it's never shown any indication of that so far, they should extend an invitation.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about laying a trap. That would just give the president more ammunition to say, see, they're bad Americans.
Yeah, but that's a smart way to do it, not a demeaning way to do it, because they always would have been invited.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And if there was a popular team right now who represented America, it's not just that they beat another American team. They represented America on a world stage, and they dominated. And they were really fun personalities. So this should have been so easy.
Yeah.
But the two
of
them.
But nothing's ever easy anymore.
Not with this administration. Yeah, no, really, not with this planet anymore, right? Here's the question that the president wants, and maybe you do too, wants put on the census. Is this person a citizen of the United States? You have five options. Yes, born in the U.S. Yes, born in Puerto Rico, Guam, Virgin Islands, Northern Marianas. Yes, born abroad of a U.S. citizen. Yes, a citizen by naturalization. And no, not a U.S. citizen. The census is supposed to count the number of persons in the United States, not the number of citizens. This would change that. I have to tell you guys that I think from an empirical standpoint, if your idea was just, well, let's see what we got here. How many persons do we have? How many of them are U.S. citizens? If you could remove the politics from it, but just think about it this way for a moment, that's a fair data point to try and ascertain.
So to get a handle on how many people are living here illegally.
I guess you one subtract the other.
But
you
John,
get both.
You're never going to have that right complete number because whether it's on there or not, people who aren't here legally are so afraid they're never going to answer that question. And they're not going to fill out the form.
But they have to. I mean, you're legally bound, and there are penalties if you don't answer census form.
I was thinking that. What are the penalties? Because, no,
wait,
really.
Well, right.
Wouldn't it be horrible to go to jail? What are you in for? Son, murder. No. What are you in for?
I didn't check all the boxes.
But it's
funny. And the thing is, but you don't go to jail. You get probably, you know, they're afraid they're going to get thrown
exactly.
out.
No, but
right.
I'm thinking,
either way, they're afraid they're going to get thrown
I'm
out.
I'm thinking, you know, we're going to lose a member of Congress after the census, maybe because our population. Yeah. So what if we all just said we had six people in our household?
Well, again, you're lying.
You're lying.
Perjury.
Don't do that.
Yeah, but I mean, so what happens?
They're going to come back and check you now after they've heard this tape.
They can't even print the census form. They're going to come knock on my door?
I mean, I understand the political view that says if you are a citizen, you're protected. Indicate that. If you're not, to hell with you. We don't care if your state is now underrepresented because those persons aren't being counted. We don't want to count them anyway. We don't want to give you congressional representation as a function of their being part of your population.
The Wall Street Journal brings up a point, though, and I think it's a good question. Should you have representation in the House of Representatives if a large number of your district are illegal aliens or undocumented workers?
Right.
If they're not American citizens, do they warrant representation in the U.S. Congress?
They're contributing to this country.
They're not citizens. I mean,
correct.
I think it's a very good question, but that's not the only thing that's determined by the census, right? It has to do with federal dollars coming into the district and things like that. Mm-hmm. Those are human hearts. And so whether you're a citizen or not, you need those services.
And the intent
so you shouldn't be diminished there.
The intent of the census originally was to count persons, not citizens, because women couldn't vote. Blacks couldn't vote.
States. They were three-fifths of a human being. And that I'm just reading a history of the debate on the creation of the Constitution. And it's fascinating because there's big back and forth for the reasons we're talking about. Three-fifths of a human being for a slave. So they could have those numbers. So Virginia and southern states had these inflated numbers and so had inflated numbers of representatives.
Okay, but those people weren't citizens, yet they were counted. Right. Women weren't. I don't know if women were counted as citizens. I know they couldn't vote. I don't think they were citizens, but they were persons in the United States. And my understanding is the founders anticipated this. They wanted a count of persons, not of citizens.
All of this to me is moot in a way. I mean, the fact is that what we have is the Supreme Court telling the administration that they can't do it. And now on this day, the president says he's going to do it anyway. I mean, I think that's the big issue here. And the fact is also that if you're worried about scaring Hispanics, legal or illegal, you've already done it. By raising this issue, by pushing it, by publicizing greatly that they're going to have these huge raids on people coming up this weekend.
They have
them.
They're
already, it's the systematic intimidation of these people to try to keep them underground.
I guess I'm done with this topic. We'll see what happens. He thinks an executive order will be an end around this, around the court issue.
Well, maybe
he'll
be able to do this.
The Supreme Court said the administration couldn't do it because their rationale was flawed. They said that you could put the citizenship question on the census, but not for the reasons, because basically they said that the Wilbur Ross was lying to them about it. You know, they said, you're lying. This isn't really why you want to do it. So if they come up with a better rationale, the courts presumably would allow them to do it. But I don't think that the implication from the court was that if you could do that by executive order, and that seems to be what they're going to do.
The governor of the state of Illinois has disinvited a band to perform at the DuQuoin State Fair. The name of the band is Confederate Railroad, and they come onto stage with, among other things, I guess, a Confederate flag, and their name is Confederate Railroad.
And I saw stars dancing on the water.
Sounds lovely, but they can't perform in DuQuoin because the word Confederate. And, you know, I get the governor's point, but the language he used to denounce them was overkill.
We talked about this last week or the week before when it comes to the Betsy Ross flag. We cannot allow the racists and the bigots and the worst of us to take our symbols. And the Confederate flag is one of those symbols. Whether you like it or not, it's come to stand for a lot more than just the Confederacy. And I think the governor made a big mistake in doing this.
Wait a minute. So what does it stand for besides the Confederacy?
You tell me, Scott.
I hate the battle flag. I hate it with a passion.
Give me your best, though.
To be a Confederate is to be a Southerner, to be a rebel, to be of that land. I mean, you're from the South. You know that.
I always thought of it as a negative symbol.
Oh, the flag stinks.
No, but I think some people see it as a righteous rebel. I'm not against America. I'm actually very much for America, but my vision of it, and it's not a racist, bigoted one. I mean, that's what I think some people...
I would challenge you to look at every white supremacist, racist, segregationist march from 1900 till today and tell me what flag is being flown.
I'm not arguing that point. I'm just saying what's the best version of it.
The Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah,
right?
That was General Lee.
Just lovable good old boys.
I'm sorry, but I thought I understand what you're saying, that the racists are using the flag, but I thought a lot of non-racists also flew that flag. There's a Confederate Memorial Day in the South.
Yeah, there is. They also don't celebrate Lincoln's birthday when I went to school in Texas, but they do celebrate Jefferson Davis'
birthday. So I'm wrong. So do you think the governor should have banned this band?
What's the message of the music?
They're not a fringe band.
And I'll bet their songs aren't about racism and singing about the virtues of exclusion. I'll bet that they are just trying to tap into the Southern vibe, and the Confederate flag is a prop for that.
I'm thinking of Sweet Home Alabama and Lynyrd Skynyrd. Were there not Confederate flags being waved in the crowd there? Or were those white supremacists?
So, Steve, you're arguing on behalf of
I'm in an upside-down world, I guess.
You're now for the Confederate flag being a prop for the band.
Well, here's the thing.
Or at least governor not kicking them out because of it.
The governor is not being even on both sides, because he is allowing Snoop Dogg to come play at the State Fair in Springfield, and he has a picture, I guess, on an album with
a dead guy on the toe tag. It says Trump.
Yes.
That's not good.
Being allowed.
So my concern...
So is that fair?
How do you do one and not the other?
Right.
I don't know that they're exactly opposites of each other, but that's certainly distasteful. And maybe that's the problem. If you start to go down the road of judging the appropriateness of bands and images, you'll not have anybody there.
And who makes that judgment? Bands are always out of the box. You know, they're always going to push the envelope.
Hi, I'm the governor. Welcome to the State Fair. Here's Up With People.
God, I remember one of their songs. Oh my
Donnie
God,
Donnie and Marie.
I love them at the Super Bowl.
I love the lyric of "Up With People." Their theme song is "Up, Up With People." You meet them wherever you go.
Up, up with people.
I'm sorry that you know that, Scott.
I am too. Why?
Okay, so one more time, can I go at this? So you think that the band should change its name because
not the name. I would not use the flag. I think it's offensive. It's anathema.
No, you're the governor now. What do you do?
No. He's a Southerner. I'm asking Scott as a person because I value him
living
more.
Down there,
I value him more as a person than as the governor.
Okay, thank you. Maybe. I think that I don't like the flag. The name of the group. I have a problem with the Confederacy. I've always had a problem with this, you know, the Southern Edict of holding on to that flag and that war and the traitors who fought in it. You know, I hope some Southerners are listening because Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis were traitors.
I would not kick him out the State Fair or the DuQuoin State Fair. Would you have?
No, I would not.
Would you have?
No, I think that it's an idea. It's a symbol, and if people are offended by it, don't go.
What if he asked them to leave the flag at home? Would you still allow them to come?
Still the Confederate Railroad.
Yeah.
Go ahead and finish that thought.
Well, I'm just trying to sort out my own where I think about this because I am for taking down a lot of the statues. But I don't like the idea of erasing things or making things absolutely forbidden now. And I don't like the Confederate flag. I don't think it should fly above state capitals. And I don't like the idea of, but I don't like the idea of disappearing it either.
No, but the statues, when I worked at Memphis, Tennessee, they had a statue of Bedford Forrest downtown. Bedford Forrest was the founder, say it with me, kids, of the KKK.
Yeah. Well, see, that goes. In my world, that goes.
So, yes.
I don't know.
Get rid of the statues because the statue honors somebody. You can put it in a cemetery or something, but don't honor
it. Put it in a museum and explain it.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I would pull down that one if that was in my town, and that shouldn't draw controversy. But once you go down this path, you're going to pull down statues of Washington and Jefferson. Kim Gordon, thanks for sitting in with us today.
My pleasure. I just want to know from Scott before we wrap up, what is the best thing what is the thing you love most about Chicago?
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to miss this the most because you're moving to Alabama.
The city's awesome. I mean, we live downtown. We get to take it, as John mentioned earlier, I've been thinking about that a lot.
There's no little offbeat thing that you're, that even in your daily life, like, what am I really going to miss about
Club Lago is owned by two brothers, Guido and Giancarlo Nardini. They're Italian. And that's kind of my watering hole. That's a place that you go and they know you. And I've actually vacationed with Giancarlo. So I'm something, that I'd say.
People that use TripAdvisor were asked what's the number one destination for a single tour. And the architecture boat tour in Chicago was ranked the second best tour in the world. Second only to tours of the Vatican and the Sistine Chapel.
Wow. It's stunning. This city is stunning. I came here and not knowing as much as I should have. And one of the monikers we have for Chicago is the Paris of the Midwest. I went, well, that sounds like a bunch of crap. What could that mean? And then after taking the architecture tour, just walking around and you turn a corner and, oh my God, there's a Calder. Oh my God, there's a Chagall. I mean, how many people know that there's a Chagall mosaic mural down near City Hall?
This is a city where wherever you go, people are stopping and taking pictures of the city around them. It's just beautiful, and it will be a little bit less for Scott Stantis's absence as he moves away. So still connect with us here on the Mincing Rascals, Scott.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. That's Scott Stantis, Kim Gordon from WGN Radio News. What a pleasure, Kim.
Thank you.
Steve Bertrand had to exit stage left. He's about to use this studio for his radio show. Eric Zorn will join us next week. I'm John Williams, produced today by Griffin Filipich. We'll drop another pod on you next week.
Subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes or the Google Play Music Store. You can now also follow us on Spotify, or you can keep listening online at WGNRadio.com. Plus, catch highlights every Saturday from 11 to 11:30 a.m. on The John Williams Show on WGN Radio.